Good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatterim for Tom Flanagan, who is on vacation this week. We invite you to participate in today's show. You can email us at perspectives@wfsu.org. Call us at 414-1234. Or if you're outside our listening area, the number is 1-800-926-8809. This morning, we are discussing the research and commercialization projects happening in Tallahassee. In December, Florida State, Florida A&M, and Tallahassee Community College will host an event to showcase their work, and we're getting a preview of some of those projects today. Joining us in the studio are Kim Moore. She's the Vice President for Workforce Development at Tallahassee Community College and serves on several boards, and she's also a member of Florida A&M University's Board of Trustees. From Florida A&M, we have Dr. Tim Moore, who's the Vice President of Research. In addition to his numerous job duties, he leads FAMU's efforts in technology transfer, protection of intellectual property, licensing, and commercialization, and he's actually got two patents, actually several, pending that are his very own. We've got Dr. Gary Ostrander, the Vice President of Research at Florida State University. He directs the Office of Research and all aspects of FSU's $200 million research enterprise, including its centers, programs, and institutes. And we also have FSU's Larry Lynch, who currently serves as a consultant to FSU's Office of Commercialization and director of the Tallahassee Economic Development Council's Entrepreneurial Excellence Program. Say that 10 times fast. That is
better known as EEP.
EEP, that is one heck of a tongue twister. Well, thank you all so much for joining me here this morning. I really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's talk technology. So I want to start off with that December 1st event, because it's great to have all three of our higher education institutions really coming together to really tell people, you know, what is it that you guys are doing in those brick buildings all over town. So who wants to start this conversation off for us?
Well I'll start.
And, Mr. Lynch.
Only because I've been involved with it now for going on 8 years. And FSU actually started a program called Sneak Peek about 7 years ago. And as Gary reminds me, it was 2.5 hours of riveting PowerPoints. We had 25 folks show up, and that grew to last year. We had over 400 people show. We had over 40 FSU engineers and researchers talking to the community members about what they're doing that possibly could become companies or products in Tallahassee. And we said, you know, FAMU was doing a similar thing called the iShow, and that was going to be their third year this year. And TCC does an incredible amount of work of supporting projects as they're going on. Why don't we do one show? And so we never have done anything together with all three of us, and so this is the first time, and it's been great fun putting it together. So on December 1st, from 5 o'clock until 8:30 at the FSU Conference Center, better known as the Turnbull Center, we're going to have over 80 members of our staffs talking about stuff that could be new products, could be new companies, support products that TCC does. We're going to do things like feature the aquaculture program out of TCC, so there'll be oysters that are actually grown. The viticulture program at FAMU will be there with their wines and jellies. We're going to have some good food provided by the folks at Andrews downtown. We're going to have three different musical groups, and this is going to be a lot of good stuff happening.
So you've already hit on a couple of different projects going on across the spectrum here, viticulture, Wakulla Environmental Institute's Oyster Program. More and more, we've got to
No relation.
Here, talk a little bit about some of the work that you guys are doing in addition to those programs.
I would say, I mean, there are so many new and exciting things going on with Tallahassee Community College as we embark on what will be our 50th anniversary celebration in 2016. One in particular is the recent pledge made by President Murdaugh. It's actually TCC Spark, which actually moves TCC to an entrepreneurial campus. And our mindset and the services that we make available to our students, the whole idea of making sure that our students, whether they're coming from K through 12 and preparing to go to our university partners that they know that they have this great opportunity to create their own jobs, you know.
You know, that's interesting you say that, commercialization. We're talking right now about getting that research to the market, but a lot of that work really starts in K-12.
Yes.
What is happening with trying to really reach out to our local high schools, even to our local middle schools, and how are you guys going about doing that?
Well, from the Florida A&M standpoint, we are obviously very fortunate to have the DRS school, K-12 research program. What we've done is we've taken a local entity called Domi Station, and we're now inculcating them into the actual curriculum and delivery, middle school, high school at the DRS. The idea is to build the entrepreneurial mindset from the moment these kids are beginning to really look at their careers, their collegiate careers, their vocational careers, wherever they're going in life. And so that's been very, very successful for us. The other thing we're doing at Florida A&M recently is we're doing an app challenge for the students. Domi Station, again, was very very much assisting us and helping us to launch that. And the idea here is, again, to get these kids to try to experience the ability to form ideas, form teams, come together very quickly, and see how they do in terms of a Shark Tank type of environment, and then proceed to commercialization. And so the idea here is to let them try, if necessary, fail, under the rubric of a higher educational model, and then go off and be successful in life as they off these experiences they've developed at Florida A&M.
You know, it's interesting, looking at how much higher education has changed. The state has really put an emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math, and even the Florida Board of Governors. It's one of your metrics now to how much money have you raised in research. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a big deal to schools. And I'm wondering, I think it's a question for, you know, Mr. Ostrander, you know, $200 million in research. How big of a deal is that for a university right now when your state funding is either flattening out or in some cases falling? You have to get more private money and federal money, I'm assuming, to make your numbers work.
We do. I need to point out that our faculty direct their own research, and basically what it comes down to, if they can't generate the funding, federal grants, state grants, private foundations, then they're not going to be able to do the research. So we hire faculty that have that ability, have that capability to bring those dollars in and to support their students, support the facilities, et cetera. I would also quickly add that much of that money is circulating through the economy in Tallahassee because we're paying salaries. That's where the bulk of the money that's going out of that $200 million that we're able to bring in every year. And FAMU brings in significant dollars every year as does TCC. Collectively, we're all probably putting about $250 million a year into the economy. And that's being spent at movie theaters and grocery stores and places like that, as well as what we're all talking about today is using some of that to focus on developing new technology so we can develop companies that will stay in Tallahassee, will spin out jobs, and will further strengthen our community.
And I know, Dr. Moore, FAMU had a really great year with getting National Science Foundation grants.
Right, right. We've done very, very well. We have great, talented faculty. They're working hard. The real key for us, though, is to continue to keep the eye on the prize, which is to grow the breadth, the depth, and the collaborative efforts, because the problems have become so significant at the federal level, the national level, that a single PI, single university kind of focus is not going to do it. And Dr. Ostrander and I, Gary and I, have worked very closely together. We have actually a joint project in looking at the genome of corn, looking at drought-resistant forms, more varieties of which we can then export to the subtropical elements of the world and provide food source. That's just one area of collaboration, and that's a very large $4 million project. And Gary's right. A lot of that money shows up in the form of salaries. The other part about it is this, which is the innovation process. If you look nationally, where our innovation centers used to be in industry, innovation research is very, very expensive. The fact that the state of Florida subsidizes us, you know, brings in a line, provides the buildings for us to work in, those are the critical metrics now, the critical elements now, where we can actually innovate and create an industry, and the government are now looking to us to be the innovation engine for the nation. That's changed a lot. In my 25 years of doing science from the federal side coming to the academic side, I used to have whole laboratories full of scientists. Those are all gone now. It's now dependent on the universities to come up with the ideas and us as administrators to be able to take those ideas to market. That's what's changed. And to me, I find that very exciting. It's very challenging for our faculty because they're required to do lots of important things simultaneously. But to me, that's the cool part about what we get to do every day is innovate, create, and take to market.
You know, how does it work when you may have a multi-year, multi-decade research project? A lot of these things have spun off businesses. And I'm curious, Mr. Lynch, you know, how does that work when you may have a project that began at FAM, FSU, or TCC and is now, you know, grown into its own as a privately run company?
Mm-hmm. And that's called intellectual property. And the intellectual property, while it may be owned by the university, is then licensed to these companies. And they may pay a royalty for that. But the thing that I wanted to point out was if you look back at the history of Tallahassee, we've kind of been a one economic town, mm-hmm. with state government. And if you look back at the recession that hit in the mid 2000s, we realized if we want Tallahassee to grow, we're going to have to grow it something other than state government. And I think the local economy, the city, the county, the universities all said, how are we going to do that? And one way to do it is based on the research that's going on. How can we spin out companies that could then attract other companies to come here and do development of either hardware, software, drugs, and things like that? And you're seeing an incredible number of folks go through that. Our EEP program that we talked about has now had 120 new companies come through our program in the past 5 years. When we first started, I said, we're going to get 12 new companies. We're going to do it one time, and we're going to be done. These people are coming out of the woodwork. They think Tallahassee is a great place to live, and they want to start new companies here. And as we get more and more of the high-tech stuff coming out of our universities, that becomes the basis for those companies.
What's one company that you can think of that kind of, you know, really exemplifies this approach?
I'm looking to Gary. Gary's looking at me.
We see people looking at each other.
We can talk about James Olchasey. I'd go from there. And Dr. Olchasey is a researcher at the med school. And he has developed a process that he believes, and we believe very strongly, is going to significantly help in the premature labor issue. About 10%, 15% of all babies born in the United States are born prematurely. Very expensive, $10,000 a day for a neonatal ICU. He has developed a way through light therapy to basically stop the premature labor process. Now, this started out as he came to us about 4 years ago, asked for a small amount of money through our GAP program, which we were able to give him. He's now worked with the hospitals here in town, and he's got a new company, and they're going right down the line to make this happen.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to take a brief break. We will be right back as soon as we get done with our moment of silence. We're back here on Perspectives. We've been speaking with Florida A&M, Florida State, and Tallahassee Community College about commercialization in Tallahassee and growing our own businesses. And we were actually just kind of talking about that a little bit, about businesses that have already spun off. You know, we've had a lot of conversation about how to bring businesses into Florida. Our governor is very strong about that. But you all have just said during the break, you know, grow our own and how to do that. And, you know, Dr. Ostrander, you've talked specifically about that. How do you encourage more business growth to kind of spring up?
What I'm suggesting is that we start to think a little bit more strategically about bringing businesses into the community. Rather than casting a broad net, we look at the strengths we have at the individual universities. You know, Larry mentioned the research areas, and specifically think of companies that should or could be here. So let me give you a couple of examples. At the Mag Lab, we do a lot of work with imaging. Basically, if you have an MRI, the theories and the principles that run the MRI, a lot of those were developed at the Mag Lab a decade ago. So doesn't it make sense that maybe a company like a Siemens or a GE that makes these MRI machines that we've all either been in or know someone that's been in, that they have an operation maybe in our innovation park in close proximity to the Mag Lab? We also have on our campus an incredibly wonderful wind tunnel facility related to aeronautics. And we're already working with companies like Boeing. We're working with Honda in terms of materials and aerodynamic flow and noise reduction in engines. We need to start thinking strategically about how do we approach those kinds of companies and get them to physically co-locate. It doesn't need to be a lot of people, but a few people to work in the vicinity where we have strengths. We've already seen one really good example of how this has worked, and that's with Danfoss Turbocore. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Danfoss has benefited from the universities, from folks being around here. Their president will tell you that any chance he gets. We know it can work in Tallahassee. We just need to keep pushing that direction.
And that's growing, too. They just announced that they're going to have one of the five worldwide excellence centers at Turbocore. And it was done because of the research being done in Innovation Park.
You know, it's interesting you guys mentioned Danfoss. I've talked with them several times, and they really rely very heavily, actually, on graduates from TCC.
Exactly.
Going, just kind of, you know, bringing this full circle. You all do a tremendous amount of job training and really high-end, highly specialized manufacturing. This is not, you know, back in the day hand car assembly. This is really intricate work.
Absolutely. With 76 degree and certificate programs that we offer, I think one of the unique pieces that TCC brings outside of being a feeder to the universities, but also preparing the workforce in our community, whether it's manufacturing where we are able to create just-in-time training programs for an employer, it really is tailored to meet their specific needs. And Danfoss has been a great partner, but there are so many other employers that we are working with to meet their needs. And I believe that that's where that's our niche area right there. The middle skill individuals, those that need to get into the workforce right now or to see a promotion or advancement in their careers, they're able to do it right there in partnership with our universities.
Is this part of the Retail Pathway Grant or is this something separate?
Oh, you know what? The Retail Pathway Grant is something very new and exciting as well. We are one of four community colleges nationwide to receive this first-time funding that is tied to a nationwide need as well as state and local. The lack of retail, I call it workers, at the middle skill level as well as at the manager level has created this opportunity for us to create I call it industry-specific training. We're partnering actually with the Federal Retail Federation, and there we are launching training that will start in January of next year. So employers, you know, three out of the top 10 jobs that are advertised in our area, they're looking for that specific skill set. They'll be able to receive it right there on our campus.
How much of your research is tied to local industry needs? I'm really curious. You know, when we start getting outside of Leon County, which is heavily government-centric, we start getting into agriculture areas. I'm thinking Apalachicola. I'm thinking farming in Gadsden. You know, I'm thinking about pretty much all of South Georgia. What are some of the things that you all are doing kind of off the beaten path, really?
I think one for starters would be our aquaculture program. You know, looking at that and how we are able to take what would be and certainly considered a poor situation to turn it into an opportunity where individuals are getting skills to become their own bosses. They're getting the skill sets that they can take care of their families and move forward. So that entrepreneurial, I call it certainly an entrepreneurial initiative, but these individuals are working and doing something that they love with the environment while at the same time growing this new opportunity that the community had never seen before.
And you're talking specifically about the Wacol Environmental, the oyster aquaculture program. That directly ties into the situation in the Apalachicola Bay. That bay is on the brink of collapse. Several scientists are very concerned that that may not recover, and that used to be a major seafood industry and a major seafood port there.
Absolutely. And I think, again, that's one example how we have been responsive. But even looking at Gadsden County, where we will have our first bricks and mortar location coming out of the ground and being ready for service in January of 2016, we have been very strategic about the workforce offerings there. We're going to offer HVAC program for Gadsden County residents and others. We know that this is not only, again, a local need, but statewide. It's the fourth job that's in demand statewide that Gadsden County residents and others will have an opportunity to take advantage of, inclusive of Danfoss, who's expressed a keen interest in this area.
Gotcha. And Dr. Moore, you were mentioned earlier, you all also have programs that do really focus. We know famously the wonderful grapes over at the Viticulture Center, who everybody loves. But there are more than that.
Well, what's interesting about viticulture is that because of the study of the plant and the way you can stress the plant, you can get things that make the plant do things that you want. For example, we have a variety of the Majesty grape that we produced. It actually can generate four times the antioxidant capacity and content of blueberries. So that becomes interesting to the nutraceutical industry, who are looking at adjuvant therapies, pharmacy, medicine, and so forth to promote wellness. So there's a Venn diagram around science, which is there's the innovation, and then there's all the cool ideas that go around it. And I'm going to segue back to something that ties all these schools together. We have a summer program, one of 42 in the United States, with NIH funding. We brought students from TCC who do not get research experience to come to Florida A&M University to get cancer research experience. One of those students excelled in that process this summer and got a full ride to FSU. He's now on his way to completing his degree at Florida State. It shows the synergism and the overlap and the complementary nature of how these three programs all work together. A young man can start out from a low wealth position and start at the community college, which is a great launch point. He comes and gets a little bit of embellishment from our enterprise of research and goes over to Dr. Ostrander's side and completes his educational pathway, and he wants to go into medical school. You can see a continuum here where we're improving someone's life, and they're touching all three pillars of the educational foundation here in Tallahassee. And I want to go back to something Larry also indicated, which is this. We used to be a one-horse town. When you've got 70,000-plus 18- to 25-year-olds sitting here, we're sitting on a gold mine, both of economics, innovation, education, business launch, and so forth. If the three schools work together, going back to the Discovery on Parade, by working together, we're actually showcasing what makes Tallahassee very unique, and it goes back to Dr. Ostrander's point, which is be targeted in who we're going after. Just don't call calling all firms to come. Look at what we've got. Let's match up capabilities and needs and come together in Tallahassee with a workforce that is unlike anything else around. And if you flip the cards over the right way, it's a win-win-win situation.
That's true. You know, and you all also work, your researchers are working together. I've seen several projects where, you know, FAMU and FSU researchers managed to get an NIH grant or an NSF grant. I've seen projects where, you know, TCC and FSU are partnering, FSU and FAMU are partnering. I mean, this really goes down to, you know, what's actually happening in the classroom.
Right. Exactly. Again, we've got collaborators. We're within 10 minutes of one another. We've got researchers that know each other. They're working, again, in the area of corn or maize. They've decided they're going to do a genomics program. And it's a brilliant program because it taps into resources and expertise on both sides of the equation. So the government gets a win-win, and we in Tallahassee get a win, and then the economy and frankly, the world gets a win if we actually come up with innovative products that can improve crop durability under high heat, high stress conditions, or whatever the case may be. So it's just one tiny example of a myriad of examples that go on day in, day out between the three schools.
Let me give two more examples. One that's happening now and one we're going to see a lot more in the future. We have a FAMU-FSU College of Engineering.
Yes, sir.
So we have a lot of collaboration among the faculty members in terms of research projects that span a wide area. And as Dr. Moore mentioned, they're training students. At the same time, they're actually doing cutting-edge research, which ties back to the intellectual property and eventually into companies. I'm going to predict that in the next 10 years, you're going to hear a lot more about partnering and products coming out between our College of Medicine and your College of Pharmacy.
I would agree.
There are already collaborations happening in drug delivery, new drug platforms. And as I know, we have been interviewing faculty that we're hiring on the FSU side. They've been really interested in what's going on at FAMU because they're already thinking of the basic research they're going to do. How do you translate that into a drug that eventually goes to market?
And, Gary, you're exactly right. We have the same thing on the opposite side with the pharmacological sciences folks coming in. They're interested in the medical program because they see the intimate connection between idea and delivery, clinical application versus experimental development. And so we've got to have these collaborations. And so there are no firewalls between the organizations. And I think that's the cool part about it because we're doing something that now is the right time. The governor, the legislator put upon us the need to make sure we're flat as possible, that we are innovative, and we're showing commercial and economic stimulation beyond just payroll. It's got to be more than that. And I think that's the real value of what the three schools sitting here today represent, is that we're all working together for one common outcome: improve the student success trajectory, improve the economy, and help Tallahassee and North Florida.
And you are listening to Perspectives. If you want to join our conversation, feel free to give us a call at 414-1234, or you can email us at perspectives@wfsu.org. If you're outside the listening area, the number is 1-800-926-8809. You all were just talking a second ago about work, especially in the pharmaceuticals and in the medical sciences. At FSU, you all have Taxol, that major, really big cancer drug. At Florida A&M University, you guys have really focused hard on HIV/AIDS treatments and patents. And I know at TCC, you all are really working to build the nursing. How big of an industry is healthcare, and has that played a role really in kind of what you guys are targeting here?
Well, it's over 20% of the U.S. economy, number one. Number two, it touches everybody's life from cradle to grave, literally. And then number three is that because of the Affordable Care Act, it's under great pressure to achieve economies of scale at the hospital level, the physician level, the pharmacy level, the drug producer level, and so forth. And again, as I mentioned earlier, when you start looking at the cost of innovation, it's easier to come to the university. We're actually, as a state-subsidized institution, we're less expensive than most companies, and we have a veritable smorgasbord of people and talent and skills and resources and facilities to draw upon. That's the cool part about this. So that's how all of this is going to play together to help improve economy and help improve life and trajectories.
Now, let me go back and hit some history here to really emphasize what you're talking about and how this will play out. You mentioned Taxol. At the time, one of our faculty members developed the precursors for Taxol. There were probably 40 other labs across the world that were all working in the same area. You know, we ended up on top of that. But what did that really mean for Tallahassee? That still is the premier example in North America of a faculty member's research being licensed. Mm-hmm. That generated $352 million for Florida State University. So a lot of the buildings you see at the Innovation Park were built on those Taxol dollars, and they've continued to reap the reward as we develop more and more research, more and more products. That is absolutely an example of where it was the work inside the universities that the drug companies came partnered with us, which they weren't doing in their own shop, and they have a wonderful situation. They can sit there, let 40 universities compete, see what comes out on top, and then they partner with you.
Correct.
And I think from a workforce perspective, mm-hmm. Certainly with our recent and our first baccalaureate degree that we'll be offering with the BSN, we saw it as a workforce need, and it was in collaboration with speaking with our university partners to make sure that this was the right thing, as well as with our employer community that, by the way, you're turning out great RNs, but would you take it to the next level with the baccalaureate degree? So that will actually be a 2016 feature of what we offer.
And
one thing else that we're seeing, and it's our tremendous community of being able to give back. These new companies that are starting up, they're getting mentors that who are folks who are already in the business community, have been successful, who just want to give knowledge. They may not have knowledge of the actual specifics about what that new company is, but maybe high tech. But they sure have some knowledge about the business acumen needed to move that forward, and they're giving up their time and building success going forward because they want to see Tallahassee grow across the board and have new industries so that people want to stay. Everybody who's ever graduated from FSU, FAMU, TCC would love to figure out a way to stay in Tallahassee, but there weren't jobs here to do it. Mm-hmm. And so and we knew we weren't going to see growth in the traditional state employment. So now by having new companies that start with one, that grow to three, that grow to five, gives them opportunities to stay here, enjoy the life here, raise their families here. And a lot of it is because the folks in Tallahassee want that to happen. They want to see Tallahassee continue to grow.
What does it take to get a product from the lab to the marketplace? And how long, you know, does it take to do that? I know, you know, you have patents that can be pending for years and may never turn into a product. You've got other things that move really fast. I'm just curious about how does this process work?
Well, as soon as you figure that out, you let everybody know.
it's really a depends.
It is a depends in the sense that if you're talking about a drug or you're talking about something that's going to impact human health, that's usually going to be many tens of millions of dollars, and that's going to be many years because mm-hmm. there's all the concerns about safety. And you just look at thalidomide and some other drugs, fen, things that have been had to come back off the market after they're found out to be problematic, and you understand why there has to be such a long process. On the flip side, if you have a clever new idea, and maybe it's an app, maybe it's a technology, maybe it's an improvement in design of an airplane wing, those can get to market in a few years. What it normally takes is somebody in a company or somebody with some resources recognizing this has potential and is willing to fund it to get you to the point that a company will come along and say, hey, we're going to license this. And again, sometimes that can be a few months. Sometimes it's a few years. Domi is a entity here in town that can really short circuit that for a lot of folks and understand exactly what it takes. Right. We throw out terms of like intellectual property and licensing and patenting. And you know, one of the things about patents that people don't realize is patents themselves are worthless. They really are just a piece of paper. The only time a patent ever has any real value is if you get a company to license it. And the vast, as you correctly point out, the vast majority of patents will never be licensed. They'll right. never make it to market.
But also, not here in Tallahassee, but back in Alabama where I moved from, a 14-year-old has a patent and he was offered $30 million for just a patent. 14 years old. And he was working with an entrepreneurial launch pad in the local area right outside of university. And what we're talking about now is a game changer for wealth, for innovation, for investment, and for recognition. And I think that's why we're all sitting around this table today is to talk about the ability to take ideas and turn them into something. The intellectual property process starts with an idea. It starts then with recognizing that idea is worth something and you want to protect it. And that's what these organizations spend a lot of time and a lot of talent is invested to make sure we protect those ideas. And you're exactly right. 90, 95% of them probably never bear fruit, so to speak. But it's that 5% that do. And then it's the totality of what you're doing from an innovation cycle that really makes you who you are, makes your reputation. And so at the end of the day, these are all critical steps in the process of being a good faculty member, a good administrator, and a good student, because the innovation cycles are occurring all over the place, and we've got to be agile to help bring those things to market.
Gotcha. And when we get back from this next break, I think we're going to continue on with talking about how Domi Station, our own local incubator, really contributes to that.
Okay.
We're back here on Perspectives. We've been talking about commercializing research. How do you get that product from the lab to the public? And you can give us a call and weigh in here at the show. We are at 414-1234. If you're outside the listening area, the number is 1-800-926-8809 or email us at perspectives@wfsu.org. When we left off, we were talking about, you know, it really kind of takes a community to get a lot of these things off the ground, how some patents just, you know, always stay patents. They never lead to anything else. But how some, you know, with the given resources can become monetized ideas, making money on these. And Domi Station here in Tallahassee, it is a business incubator. It's built to kind of help people bring their products to market. How does Domi work? And you know, talk a little bit more about its purpose, Mr. Lynch.
Okay. They've been in operation for almost 2 years now. It's a privately run situation that is supported by FAMU and by FSU and by the county and by other folks in the community. And it's a building, but it's much more than a building. It's a support structure of mentoring, of classes. So if you've got a brand new business or an idea for a brand new business, they can actually incubate you, which means you will have a place to go every day. You'll have somebody who'd mentor you. They will also introduce you to issues like how you support yourself or protect yourself in a legal aspect. How do you to reach out and do marketing and sales? How do you get access to capital, which is the biggest thing that stops most folks from taking a business idea and implementing it? With the idea being that you will graduate from the incubator, from Domi, and start your business and get bigger. I'll give you a great example is H-Wins. H-Wins was run by a young gentleman who retired from NOAA. He got access to some software that does hurricane prediction, not about where the hurricanes are going, but where the devastation is going to go, and what would that be worth to companies like Home Depot, who have to react to a hurricane. He spent 18 months. He came through our Entrepreneurial Excellence Program, EEP. He then went into Domi. He spent about 18 months in Domi, took four or five programmers to really define this piece of software. And last month, they announced that H-Winds was acquired by an international company doing protection and insurance stuff, things like that, out of London. He's going to continue to have that company here in Tallahassee. They're expanding. I think they're going to have 8 or 10 programmer types on the ground. And he didn't even exist 18 months ago. And it was because of the support structure that Tallahassee, Domi gave him, that our community gave him, and he was able to do that. And just it was a dream. He knew he could do it. We helped him, you know, to visualize and finalize the dream. And now he's doing great. And we want to be able to replicate that multiple times and show you can do that in Tallahassee.
You know, you were talking about, you know, how Kim Moore, you were saying during the break, how a lot of the nonprofits also kind of benefit from this research, but also contribute to it and help it along.
Right. One other thing that I'll point out first is the whole idea that what this collaboration brings is an opportunity to connect the dots. So knowing who the resources and players are, there really ends up being no wrong door. It's seamless in that approach. With respect to nonprofits, I look at any Institute for Nonprofit Innovation and Excellence. For 15 years, this was just a conversation in our community. But a year ago, people coming together, working collaboratively, lots of nonprofits, and certainly then bringing in FSU and VMU, it's a reality. INNI provides capacity building support for the nonprofits that are here in our community that need it. There are over 90 plus members being served right now. And this, honestly, the strength comes by way of being able to reach out, phone call with our university partners and saying, will you join us? And the answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a technology product that's being marketed. Sometimes your idea is a product that is not tech-based. And
right.
I think, you know, sometimes that gets lost maybe in the conversation that there are other types of work going on. How can your idea partner with another idea to create an even bigger idea?
Correct. Great. Mm-hmm. One cool thing about Domi I'll throw out there as well, it was noted in the first anniversary, and that is this. You looked around the room that night. There were over 150 people present. All ethnicities, all age groups were represented, all educational groups represented, from just high school to terminal degrees. And that's the beauty of Domi. Domi is this giant mixing pot concept where you can just come in and freeform ideas and get help. Basically, essentially free, and take your ideas and vet them and then take them forward. And with H-Winds, you can actually make money at it. And that's the cool part about what Domi brings to the table. It's not an academic four walls. You got to conform to a certain class schedule. It's just kind of show up and do your thing and benefit from those that are around you. That's the neat part about, I think, the concept behind Domi, why I'm pushing the 4NM students down there to get exposure, to get inculcated in this, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of a unique crucible in which you can kind of form ideas and learn who you are.
Yeah, and Domi won't be the last incubator in our community. We're already talking with Dr. Ostrander about creating that kind of space for high-tech biomedical and things like that. You might want to touch on that a little bit.
Right. So Domi brings a tremendous value to the community. A lot of the work is revolved around IT-based technologies. Certainly, as we look where our medical school and where the pharmacy school is going and even the ag programs, there is a need for laboratory space, what we call wet laboratory space and wet lab incubators. And so we're looking really hard at how we establish that type of space, which is much, much more expensive than the space that you have for Domi. And you need to make sure you have a critical mass of people that are ready to move in and have resources to cover some of those costs when you start. So that's something to look forward to in the coming months and years.
What are you guys doing to, you know, with Domi aside, what else is out there for a person who's saying, well, I'm not really connected to FAM, FSU, or TCC, but I've got this idea. You know, where can they go to say, here is my idea? Domi is great, but you're saying it's not just Domi at work here.
Well, I'd say a couple of things, but the first that I'd like to make sure that the audience knows that TCC, through our Advanced Manufacturer Training Center, we also have incubator space there that focuses on providing support to those that are in the manufacturing space. The other comment would be relative to Aero, A-E-R-O, which is probably in its second year, and that's a collaboration of so many great partners, and it's built around the idea of entrepreneurism and creating an ecosystem for those that are, you know, regardless of where they are in their planning process, that they can reach out to this group. And that's led by Mike Campbell. He was a great lead on this and being chaired this year by Keith Bowers with FAMU. But it's just an email away that individuals, if there are questions that come up about where they are in their process, the entire ecosystem gets this email, and we're all able to respond timely to make sure that that need is met.
In our Entrepreneurial Excellence Program, probably a third of them come from the universities, but two-thirds of them come just right from the community. And maybe another third are IT-based or application-based. But some of them are things like we're going to start a new spa, a salt spa, or we're going to start selling socks, which is, by the way, a great success story out of FSU.
Start selling socks?
It's a company called Divvy Up, and there are two FSU students that came out of the Jim Moran Institute. And they have a great philosophy. They sell really cool socks. And I've actually got a pair on, but I can't get my foot up that high. But every time they sell a pair of socks, they went to the homeless shelter and said, what can we do for you? And they said, we need warm socks. We can't do it. So every time they sell a pair of socks, one pair gets given to the homeless shelters here in Tallahassee. And these are two kids that are 21 years old. And they just got recognized by the governor last month as young entrepreneurs during one of the cabinet meetings. And there's lots of stories like that are going on, and we want to encourage them. And they've met with a bunch of our folks in town who have mentored them and taken them through that, usually for gratis, because they want to see them succeed.
You know, I was at Florida A&M University about a year ago, and I was sitting on the capstone panel for J School, telling some kids, I'm like, well, you know, but it was really funny because I had some amazing students who came through, and I had one student who's saying, oh, yeah, I've built this, like, fashion business. And he's like, T.I. and a bunch of hip-hop entertainers were wearing his hats and wearing his T-shirts. He's like, my product line is big in London. Sure enough, his product line really was big in London. Like, that is, I guess, kind of really speaking to the strength of the students that you have and where they're really taking some of these ideas.
It's just an interesting time in life right now. You know, when I thought back the other day, I'm having conversations with an 18-year-old son of mine about business, starting a business. And you know, I never had that idea in my head probably until I was in my 40s. So we're pushing this curve backwards. We're pushing it very early in life. And these young minds are just exceptional in what they can bring to the table, their ideas, their enthusiasm, their passion, and their lack of fear of failure. Mm-hmm. They're just going to go out there and take a bite out of life and see where it takes them. And that I think, is the really nifty part of what's going on right here between these schools, is that you've got these kids and they can move seamlessly between the organizations and between the support organizations, and they're just soaking it all up. And then all of a sudden, bam, somebody's got a sock company, or they've got a fashion company, or they're making high-end additive manufacturing, or whatever's going on. It's just it's amazing to watch. And that's, again, the value of what's right here in Tallahassee. 70,000 kids, 18 to 25. We get 10% of them turned on. We've created an incubator and an economic engine unlike anything the state of Florida's seen.
And their lack of fear is incredible. They are not scared about doing to try something that may not succeed. They'll learn more from not succeeding the first time, and they'll succeed the second time.
Well, it's the fail-forward mentality. Yeah. I was meeting with a 20-year-old last week and just talking about this whole entrepreneurial idea and TCC Spark and how we'll lead that off. And he mentioned to me, he said, I created the first website at 5 by 10. I was paying taxes. He creates websites. And, you know, he's like less than 20 now. He said, my clients are both national and international. I was like, I don't even know if my mind stretches like that. But, wow, at 5 I was not thinking about that, or how he monetized the whole Halloween deal by selling his trick-or-treat candy. You know, I wanted to eat mine, and he did not. So it's just it's amazing.
How do you protect that intellectual property? You know, you've got ideas. People, you know, I know I have ideas and a couple of books that are still in the you know, they need editing phase. But really, intellectual property is a really big part of this conversation because people are territorial about their idea. And I know a lot of the research developed at the universities, you know, professors get different offers every day. How do you make sure that you, you know, kind of keep that idea there and protect it?
Well, at our universities, the research that the faculty are involved in actually belongs to the university in the sense that we provide the environment, the labs, the facilities, the salaries, and all of that. So any discoveries, any invention disclosures would go either to Dr. Moore's office or my office. Our obligation then is if this is something that we think can turn into a product or a viable business venture, we're obligated to try to push that forward. If we don't think we can do it or we don't have the expertise, what we do is we turn it back over to the faculty member and let them run with it. So there is a protection there, and the initial costs of whether it's filing a patent or a trademark, we bear that at the university. And you know, again, as we've mentioned, a lot of those will go nowhere. But you want to protect as many as you can or all of them just in case you have one or two that are going to go somewhere.
Does that also apply to Domi as a collaborative, or does it apply to Aero as a collaborative, or are those entities a little bit different?
I think relative to Aero, it's a support system where they are providing, I call it counsel or guidance, but definitely making sure that the person understands that a legal matter would certainly need to be attached to an attorney that specializes in that area.
Yeah, Domi would tell you the same thing. The intellectual property, the idea belongs to the individual, and right. That's one of the great things about the folks at Domi is they're not there. None of us are there trying to steal ideas from somebody else. We want you to protect it. We want you to be successful with it. And that's what's making this such a great environment.
And, Lynn, I think to answer your question, I think the average person on the street, let's say they're not in mm-hmm. one of these higher educational facilities, average individual on the street, it's not really expensive to protect your ideas. The first thing you do is you can actually get a notebook and you record your idea and you sign and date it and get it notarized. That actually gives you a date of invention that begins the process of protection. You can spend lots of money on a patent. You really can. And as you've indicated early on in the program, sometimes those patents are never even issued. Sometimes the claims are disallowed. But by protecting yourself, it gives you something by which you can go out and have a transaction around. You can begin to shop that idea around, looking for capital, looking for partners, looking for whatever. And that's what I tell the students and the faculty is, first thing you do when you think you've got a good idea, record it, write it down, report it, and then we can go forward and shop it around because ideas are fluid things. They can be shaped and misappropriated and so forth. We want to make sure that idea stays with the individual and they can take it through the fruition of the cycle.
Does the whole mail it to myself thing work?
Not really.
Again, okay.
I came out of industry, and we were required to keep laboratory notebooks. I know that that's probably becoming passe now in the digital era. But again, the ability to record one's idea, the date that you conceived of it, and having someone notarize it—that's the easiest, cheapest step you can go through. At the university, you file an intellectual property disclosure. IP disclosure basically says this is what I did, the date in which I did it, and these are the individuals that were with me, and the proportionality of what we contributed to the idea. Then you go to the next level and determine whether there's a fitness test for copyright or trademark or a patent filing and let the university help in that process.
So getting back to December.
December 1st.
December 1.
5 to 8:30, exactly.
You've been waiting real long time
to say that.
But you, all three of you all will have this work, all of this work on
yes.
display and more.
Right.
How can we go see it? Where can we go see it?
Well, it's open
it
to the public,
and we
encourage everybody from the community to come. We do need you to go sign up and do an RSVP. You can go to discoveryonparade, all one word.com, and sign up. You can bring your spouse or whatever. You'll have a great time. It starts at 5 o'clock, goes till 8:30. At 6:30 that evening, we're going to have a main tent where we actually have a couple of presentations for about 40 minutes. But other than that 40 minutes, you can be walking around talking to over 80 people there that are showing their wares and talking one-to-one to the actual research person about what they're doing. And we've had in the past some great conversations where people came in and found something they really liked and invested in it or became a mentor to them. So this has really worked out great. Like I said, we've grown from 25 folks on the FSU side of our initial – sneak peek event. To last year, we had over 400. We expect about 800 people to come to this thing on December the 1st. So we're really excited about it. And it's hopefully when we're done about 8:45, we all say this was a great idea, and we can't wait to do it again next year.
Gotcha. So in the time we have left, Kim Moore, one thing that I'm going to see when I go to the Discovery on Parade.
I think you're going to see both arts as well as how we're creating this workforce for our community.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Moore, one thing I'm going to see.
Better culture. You're going to see the various products that are coming out of the agricultural side of the house, showing how agriculture is not just a food source, but actually can become useful products in the manufacturing of drugs and nutraceuticals.
Gotcha. Mr. Ostrander, one thing.
Scary, smart kids.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be most impressed with.
Be afraid. Be very afraid in December. Well, all thank you so much for joining me here on Perspectives. Glad to have you. Perspectives is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance is provided by Taylor Cox, and Lydell Rawls handles the phone. I'm Lynn Hatter. Tom Flanagan, your regular host, will be back next week. And join us again for more expert opinion and your input here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.